afternoon, all of you. Welcome to our visitors. We are missing a number of people, but we also have visitors, so welcome to you. I think we're missing mostly children. So we may have just about as many adults as we normally have, but we are missing a lot of children. Well, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus taught his followers about the spiritual intent of the law. He taught them about true righteousness and the right way to live. Now, in Matthew chapter 5, we're told that Jesus began his sermon by describing the traits he was looking for in his followers. And then he went on to teach the people about the law, about anger, about lust, about divorce and vows, about retaliation, and about loving their enemies. Then in the last verse, Matthew 5, verse 48, he said, "Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." Wow. Did Jesus really mean that? Did he really expect his followers to be perfect and live sinless lives? I think we all realize how far from perfect we are. But I hope none of us feels that it's impossible for us to please God. And I hope that none of us feels it's impossible for us to receive eternal life and enter God's kingdom. So what did Jesus mean when he said, "You shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect"? Well, Jesus meant that we are to become perfect. It should be our goal to become perfect. Now, some of you are probably thinking that, well, regardless of how much time I have, I'll never become perfect. It's simply impossible. Well, let's read what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, and let's read verses 23 through 26. In Matthew 19, verses 23 through 26. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Assuredly, I say to you, that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And when his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." So with God's help, we can become perfect. So today I want to show you seven things we need to do to become perfect. I think we're all familiar with John 3:16. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Well, this verse tells us that God the Father gave us his Son so that we could be saved from death and receive eternal life. In order for us to enter God's kingdom, we must become perfect. So God gave us his Son to make that possible. God gave us his Son so that we could become perfect. We have to believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and that he gave his life so that we could become perfect. Jesus himself was perfect. He came to the earth and showed us how to be perfect. He set an example
for us to follow. Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16. I think we're probably all familiar with that passage. Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Of course, Jesus Christ is much greater than the priests of the Levitical priesthood. If you recall, the high priest was the only one permitted to enter the most holy place each year to make atonement for the sins of the people of Israel, the nation of Israel. But Jesus Christ gave himself as a sacrifice to make atonement for all the sins of all people forever. And now, like the high priest, Jesus Christ is our mediator, who mediates between God the Father and us. He intercedes for us before God when we pray. He can sympathize with us because he experienced life as a human being and was tempted as we are. But as we said earlier, or as we read there in Hebrews, he did not sin. He showed us that we don't have to sin when we're tempted. He set an example for us to follow. He demonstrated perfection. Luke 13, verses 31 and 32. If you would like to turn there, I'm going to read again verses 31 and 32 from Luke chapter 13. On that very day, some Pharisees came, saying to him, "Get out and depart from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And he said to them, "Go tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I shall be perfected.'" Now the Pharisees, of course, weren't trying to protect Jesus from Herod. They wanted to get rid of him. They wanted to stop him from preaching and healing the people. But Jesus let them know that no one was going to stop him from doing the work his Father had given him to do. But what's really interesting about this passage is he said, "And the third day I shall be perfected." What did Jesus mean when he said, "I shall be perfected"? Well, let's go back to the book of Hebrews. If you would turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2, I'd like to read verse 10. I'm going to read several passages from the book of Hebrews. We'll start with Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10. "For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." Jesus became the perfect or complete sacrifice for our sins. And through suffering, he completed the work necessary to save us from death. And he accomplished this by his perfect and complete faith and obedience to God the Father. Let's turn forward a few chapters to Hebrews chapter 5, and let's read verses 7 through 9. Hebrews 5, beginning with verse 7. "Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications
with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. You know, Jesus was human, and he was in agony as he prepared to face death. He cried out to God, asking to be delivered. But he submitted to God's will. He obeyed his Father, and in doing so, he became the perfect sacrifice. Suffering the humiliation, the separation from God and death, he completed the work God had given him to do and made it possible for all of us to have eternal life. So when we read about being perfected in the Bible, it means to become mature or complete. You know, Jesus was always perfect, but he demonstrated it when he obeyed God the Father and selflessly gave his life as a sacrifice for us. Let's turn forward a couple more chapters to Hebrews chapter 7, and let's read verse 28. Hebrews 7, verse 28. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weakness, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. Again, through his faith and obedience, his suffering and sacrifice, he was perfected. He gave us an example, perfect example, to follow. So to become perfect means to become like Jesus Christ. Let's turn now to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's read verses 11 through 13. Ephesians 4, and we'll read here what Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Paul wrote here that we are to become perfect, like Jesus Christ. He understood that it was his responsibility to help the members of the church grow in faith and knowledge and become perfect like Jesus Christ. But if you recall, at the beginning, I quoted Matthew 5, verse 48, Jesus said, therefore you shall become perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. So are we supposed to become perfect like God the Father or like Jesus Christ? Let's turn for a moment back to the book of John. John chapter 14. And there I'd like to read verses 5 through 9. John 14, verses 5 through 9. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show me the Father? Or show us the Father? You know, if we know Jesus Christ, we'll know the Father. So to become like Jesus Christ is the same as becoming like the
God the Father. God the Father sent Jesus Christ to reveal himself to us. God sent Jesus Christ to show us the way. So we should be following Jesus' example and becoming like him. Paul, the Apostle Paul, himself followed Jesus' example and was striving to become perfect like him. Please turn to 1 Corinthians and let's read what Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians 11, let's read verse 1. That's 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ. But Paul told his followers to imitate him as he imitated Christ. So Paul was working toward perfection by imitating Jesus Christ. And he told his followers to do the same thing. It was his goal to become perfect like God the Father and Jesus Christ. Now if you return to the book of Philippians, I'd like to read Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14. And of course, we'll be reading what Paul wrote to the church in Philippi. Philippians 3, verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Jesus Christ has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So, as Paul says here, he wasn't perfect, but it was his goal. He understood that Jesus wanted his followers to become perfect by following his example and becoming like him. So if Jesus was perfect and we were to become like him, what was Jesus like? And what is it that we should imitate? Well, there's many things that we can learn about Jesus Christ from the scriptures, and there's many things that we should emulate. But today I'd like to point out seven things about his life that we need to imitate in order to become perfect. Number one, we need to follow Jesus' example of knowing the scriptures. We need to follow Jesus' example of knowing the scriptures. If you would turn with me to Luke, I'd like to read Luke 2. Verses 42 through 47. Some of you may remember this story of Jesus when he was 12 years old. Luke 2, verse 42. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. At just 12 years old, Jesus had a good understanding of the scriptures. Now we should make it a habit to study the Bible and learn all we can from it. It's the source of knowledge about God and his way of life. It contains knowledge that we need to become perfect. Let's turn now to Matthew. Matthew, I'd like to read from chapter 4, verses 1 through 11.
Matthew chapter 4. Beginning with verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone." You notice that Satan knows the scriptures also. Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." I think what it means there is, it's also written, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God." Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. So again, we see Jesus' knowledge of the scriptures. And this time he uses that knowledge to resist Satan the devil. Knowing the Bible will help us avoid deception and resist temptation to sin. So we should follow Jesus' example and know the Bible. We need to know the scriptures like Jesus Christ in order to become perfect like him. If we do our part to study God's Word, God the Father and Jesus Christ will help us through the Holy Spirit to increase our knowledge and understanding. Please turn now to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and let's read verses 9 through 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 9. "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." So without God's Spirit, we cannot understand God's Word. So, again, if we do our part, God the Father and Jesus Christ will help us with our knowledge and understanding of the Scriptures. So to become perfect, we need to know the Scriptures like Jesus did. Number two, we need to follow Jesus' example of praying to God the Father. We need to follow Jesus' example of praying to God the Father. Jesus prayed to the Father for help. Luke 5, verse 16 says, "So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed before he chose the 12 apostles. He prayed all night." And of course, he prayed repeatedly in the Garden of Gethsemane just before his crucifixion. Please turn there to Luke chapter 22, and let's read about Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Luke chapter 22, and let's read verses 39 through 46.
Luke 22, verse 39. Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives, as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. And when he came to the place, speaking of the garden, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, "Why do you sleep? Rise up and pray, lest you enter into temptation." Again, this took place just before Jesus was betrayed and arrested. He knew he was going to be beaten and crucified, so it was a very difficult time for him. He was tempted by Satan not to go through with it. So Jesus prayed to the Father, and the Father sent an angel to help him and give him the strength he needed. We should follow Jesus' example and pray to the Father to give us the strength we need to resist temptation. Let's read another example of Jesus praying, this time in John chapter 17. John 17, verses 9 through 15. John 17, verse 9. And this is Jesus' prayer for his disciples. "I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one." And Jesus cared about his disciples, and so he prayed for them as he was about to leave them. We should follow his example and pray for others. So to become perfect, we need to pray to God the Father like Jesus did. Number three, we need to follow Jesus' example of obedience. We need to follow Jesus' example of obedience. In the story we read earlier in Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus was tempted by Satan the devil, we saw that Jesus not only knew God's word, he obeyed God's word. Now let's look at another example of Jesus' obedience to God in John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verses 49 and 50. Just back a couple chapters. John 12, verse 49. "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak."
Jesus told the people that the words he spoke to them were not his own words, but they were the words the Father told him to speak. And so he obeyed the Father. Turn forward now back to John chapter 14, just a couple chapters ahead. John 14, and this time let's read verses 28 through 31. John 14, verse 28. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise and let's go from here. Well, Jesus knew that the plan for him was to be crucified and then resurrected. And he knew that Satan, the ruler of this world, was coming to tempt him to disobey the Father. Jesus could have escaped the pain and humiliation of the crucifixion. But he submitted to the Father and obeyed him. We need to follow Jesus' example of obedience. If we diligently strive to obey all of God's commandments, he will help us through the power of the Holy Spirit. 1 John 3, verse 24 says, Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us, or that he has given us. If we strive to obey all of God's commandments, Jesus Christ will live in us through the Holy Spirit and help us grow to perfection and live a life that's pleasing to God. Let's go now to the book of Romans. Romans, I'd like to read Romans 8, verses 5 through 9. Romans 8, beginning with verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. So to become perfect, we need to obey like Jesus did. Number four, we need to follow Jesus' example of faith. We need to follow Jesus' example of faith. Now, faith is the confidence that God can and will intervene in our lives. It's a deep conviction that God loves us and will always act with our best interests at heart. Jesus obviously had faith in God the Father. He trusted the Father to help him during his life as a human being and to resurrect him after he died. Let's go back to John chapter 17 and this time read verses 1 through 5. John chapter 17. We'll begin with verse 1. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Now, Jesus gave up his glory, eternal life, his power and position in heaven to come to the earth to live a short life as a human being and then die. And he had to trust the Father to resurrect him and give him back the glory he had before. We also must have faith in God. We must have faith in God to become perfect. We have to believe that God loves us and knows what's best for us. We have to believe that he wants to help us and that he has the power to do whatever he wants. Our knowledge is very limited, and there's little we can do without God's help. So we must believe that God can and will help us. Let's go now to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 5, and let's read verses 7 through 9. It's Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 through 9. We actually read this scripture earlier, but I want to read it again because I think it will help us learn a little more about Jesus' example of faith. Hebrews 5, verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. So having all the same limitations that we have, Jesus had to rely on God the Father. In John 5, verse 30, Jesus said, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. John 14, verse 10, Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Jesus trusted in the Father completely to show him what to do and say, and to provide the strength that he needed. According to John 3, verse 34, God gave him the Holy Spirit without measure. So God helped Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. Jesus placed his life in God's hands and trusted the Father to save him. Through his faith in God the Father, he became the first human being to be resurrected to eternal life. Let's turn now to the faith chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, and let's read verse 6. Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We have to learn to trust and rely on God as Jesus did. We need to pray and ask for God's help as Jesus did. God will give us what we need through the Holy Spirit, including faith, if we ask for it. We also know that faith comes from knowing God's word. We've heard Romans 10, verse 17 many times. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
prayer, along with studying the Bible, is essential to developing our relationship with God and building faith in Him. God wants us to strive for perfection and grow to be like Jesus Christ in every way. And to do that, we must rely on God to help us, as Jesus did. To become perfect, we need to have faith like Jesus did. Number five, we need to follow Jesus' example of humility. We need to follow Jesus' example of humility. Please turn to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. And let's read verses 5 through 8. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Well, we know from the first chapter of John that Jesus Christ, or the Word, has always existed. He was with God in the beginning, and all things were made through him. He's the creator and sustainer of all things. He's the source of eternal life. He's the one that communicated with the prophets in the Old Testament. He's the one that appeared to Moses on Mount Sinai and gave him the Ten Commandments. But he gave up his power and glory, his spiritual body, even his eternal life, to become human. As a spirit being, he had unlimited power and knowledge. He was not limited by space and time. But he gave up his spiritual body for a human body and became subject to the same human limitations as us. During his life as a human being, he experienced hunger, thirst, fatigue, pain, and death. He experienced human emotions like anger, grief, sorrow, and anguish, just like us. He also experienced temptations, but of course did not sin. And as we just read in verse 8, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, allowing himself to be crucified. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, means that we should have the same humble attitude. Jesus willingly gave up his power and glory to become a human being, subject to human nature and all the physical limitations we have. In humbling himself and becoming obedient to the point of death, he became the perfect example for us, demonstrating how we should live and how we should think. He demonstrated the attitude we should have. Let's turn now to 1 Peter chapter 2, and let's read verses 21 through 24. It's 1 Peter 2, verses 21 through 24. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Jesus kept his humble attitude and commitment to obey God, even when suffering. You know, we suffer for different reasons. Sometimes we suffer because of our own sin. Sometimes it's the result of someone else's sin.
Occasionally we suffer for doing good. We may not think it's fair that we suffer for the sins of others or that we suffer for doing what's right. But look at verse 20. It says, "For what credit is it if when you're beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable to God." That's what Jesus did. He did good and suffered patiently. Let's read verse 23 again. "Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously." Jesus faced suffering calmly and with patience because he had a humble attitude and he was committed to obeying his Father. He suffered humiliation and excruciating pain. But through his obedience to the Father, he paid the penalty for our sins. He humbled himself and suffered for our benefit. Let's read what Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2 and verses 3 and 4. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Philippians 2, verse 3. "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." Now, this is the kind of attitude that Jesus had. And it's the kind of attitude that we need to have. We need to be more like Jesus Christ. To become perfect, we need to have a humble attitude like Jesus had. Number 6. We need to follow Jesus' example of love. We need to follow Jesus' example of love. Jesus demonstrated his love for us by giving his life so our sins could be forgiven and so we could have eternal life. John 15, verse 13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." And so there's no greater love than the love Jesus has shown us. Let's turn now, we can read a few more scriptures here about love, Jesus' example of love. Let's turn next to 1 John 3, verse 16. That's 1 John 3, verse 16. 1 John 3, verse 16. "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Jesus has shown us what love is. He's shown us that real love produces selfless sacrifice. And the Apostle John wrote here that this is the love that we should have for the brethren. Now if you would turn with me to the Gospel of John, John 13, let's read verse 34. John 13, verse 34. "A new commandment I give to you." This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Well, to love one another was not a new commandment, but to love one another as Jesus did was new. Jesus set the bar very high. He showed his disciples by his example and by literally giving his life for them how much he loved them. And he told them to have that same love for one another. There's a good description of love found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13,
know many of us are familiar with that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. With God's love, we can endure persecution. God's love doesn't return evil for evil, but returns kindness. God's love does not envy. In other words, knows no jealousy. God's love doesn't boast or brag and doesn't look down on others. God's love is not discourteous. It's not arrogant and overbearing. It's not irritable or impatient. Does not accuse, but makes allowances for evil inflicted by another. God's love does not condone unrighteousness, but rejoices when truth triumphs. God's love endures hardship without complaining, is not suspicious, hopes for good in others, and endures patiently. Well, this kind of love doesn't come naturally to us. It goes against our human nature. But we can develop this godly love with the help from God that comes through the Holy Spirit. Paul wrote in Romans 5, verse 5, "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which was given to us." The Holy Spirit will produce love within us. I think we all know the fruit of the Spirit is described in Galatians 5, verse 22, as love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This list of the aspects, the different aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, is actually a list of character traits produced by love. This list also describes the character of Jesus Christ and God the Father. We're here to grow and to help each other grow as we strive to become perfect like Jesus Christ. Everything Jesus did was motivated by his love for us and his Father. And that's what we should be striving for. To become perfect, we need to love others like Jesus did. Number 7. We need to follow Jesus' example of service. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 20. And let's read verses 25 through 28. Matthew 20, and we'll begin verse 25. "But Jesus called them to himself and said, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus told his disciples that he came to serve, not to be served. Jesus helped many people by healing them, teaching them the truth, and giving them hope. He told his disciples that if they wanted to become great, they needed to be servants. He told them that they needed to be like him. He who came to serve and give his life for others. Now let's turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. It's Hebrews chapter 2, and let's read verses 14 through 18. Hebrews 2, verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like us, his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he's able to aid those who are tempted. After his death and resurrection, Jesus returned to heaven, and the Father restored to him his former power and glory. But Jesus didn't forget us. Now, as our high priest, he continues to help us. He continues to serve us. When we pray to the Father, Jesus is right there at his right hand, interceding for us. He can sympathize with us because he experienced our weaknesses and the temptations we face. But of course, Jesus did not sin. He set a perfect example for us to follow. So we should imitate his willingness to serve and to suffer for the good of others. Jesus' motive for serving was love, and love should be our motive. Please turn to Romans chapter 12, and let's read verses 9 through 13. Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Now, there are some practical instructions here that Paul has given us regarding how to serve one another. We may have brothers and sisters that need encouragement. Some have physical needs. Some may just need someone to talk to. We may have brethren in this area that have needs. I'm sure there's brethren in other areas that have needs. We can call, visit, send a card, invite them to our homes, whatever is important, appropriate. There are many ways to serve. Serving does take time and effort, maybe a little money. But if we're motivated by love like Jesus, we will serve others willingly. So to become perfect, we need to serve others like Jesus did. Well, I've shown you seven things about Jesus' example that we need to emulate or imitate in order to become perfect. But keep in mind that we cannot become perfect without God's help. We need God's help through the Holy Spirit to become perfect like God the Father and Jesus Christ. We know that ultimately we will be changed from flesh, from this physical existence, to spirit, to spirit beings. And then we will no longer have to resist the temptations that we resist in the flesh. And we will be perfect like God the Father and Jesus Christ. But now we have to resist the devil and submit to God. God gives us his spirit when we submit to him. And it's his spirit working in us that will cause us to become perfect. Please turn to one more scripture, Philippians 1, verse 6. Philippians 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. We all know that God has great plans for us, and he will give us all the help we need to succeed. If we cooperate with him, he will complete the work he has begun in us, and we will be perfected. We will have a part in his plan to save all of humanity, and we'll have a place reserved for us in his kingdom.